I'm Chris Cartwright here on Prairie Public, and with me is local musician Natalie Fiddler. Thank you so much for being with me today, Natalie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so we're really excited to talk to Natalie today about her music, about her upcoming EP, and things that she's been involved in up here. But first, why don't we kick it off with one of your tunes. Natalie, what's the first song you're going to be playing for us today?
Yeah, this first one is called My Type.
You're the type of movie I wouldn't see in the theaters, but I'd bootleg you on Solar Movie and watch you in my underwear from the comforts of my home. You're the type of credit I wouldn't go for unless you satisfy two core requirements, meaning that I just might graduate on time. The type of t-shirt I only sport when all my favorite ones are in the wash. The type of CD I only pull out during boring road trips. But I like awful movies in outfits that don't match. Dusty B-rate CDs and deficient credit stacks. So I guess you just might be my type. The grand piano that I play in the twilight, screaming poetry that I would never share unless you might stumble in here asking who. And just what have you been up to? You're a guppy swimming fast through the river, darting past the watching eyes. And when you're drifting, my breathing gets stiller, so I don't miss when you fly. But I like midnight ravings about my trashy love. And I hope someday you'll swim over and tell me what you're thinking of. And what is your type of love? The type of headache that leaves me laying in bed, cursing at my reading lamp for straining my eyes and keeping me up so late. I'll break the type of silence that I can't find comfort in for a brief moment of adrenaline that leaves me at your feet. You're the type of movie, the type of credit, the type of t-shirt, CDs, the baby grant, the guppy man, the headache in the silence. You're the type of movie, the type of credit, the type of t-shirt, CDs, the baby grant, the guppy man, the headache in the silence. But I like midnight ravings about my trashy love. And I hope someday you'll swim over and tell me what you're thinking of. And what is your type of love? I like awful movies in outfits that don't match. Dusty B-rate CDs and deficient credit stacks. So I guess you just might be the headache and so quietly. I guess you just might be my type.
My Type, that is Natalie Fiddler here in the Prairie Public Studio. Natalie, that's so awesome. I love how detailed the lyrics are, and it just kind of reminds me of Joni Mitchell or like Regina Spektor, mm-hmm. Anna Marie Mitchell, and that's so cool. I'm curious who you draw your inspirations from for specifically writing the lyrics?
Well, definitely Regina Spektor. I'm glad that you can hear that influence in there. I really like her, especially just the raw honesty about it. How, like, on the surface it might not make sense, but when you really think about it, things all fall into place. And there's so much deeper meaning to be reaped from the words. I also really like Liz Phair. She just, like, pushes out tune after tune, and they're always just so intricate in the words. And I've been listening to her since I was a kid.
Sure.
My mom would always play Liz Phair in the car and that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I can totally hear all of those in your music, and, well, in that first song especially. Now, Natalie, I know you're not originally from the Fargo-Moorhead area. So where are you from, and could you let us know why did you come up here?
So I am originally from Savage, Minnesota, which is a suburb in the South Metro, about 30 minutes away from the Twin Cities. And really the reason why I came to Concordia, I came to Fargo-Moorhead because I'm going to school at Concordia in Moorhead. But the reason that I came to Concordia is actually a really funny story. My sister was studying music education at Concordia University in St. Paul. And whenever she would tell people that she's going to Concordia to study music ed, they would be like, oh, you mean Concordia in Moorhead? And so when I decided I wanted to get a Bachelor of Music, I was like, everyone keeps talking about Concordia. I might as well go up there and see what it's all about. And I ended up just falling in love with it.
That's awesome. And you're a composition major, is that?
Yes.
And you're a third-year student.
Yes.
What really kind of sparked your interest in music? Was it from a young age, or was it more recent when you kind of had those inklings that you wanted to kind of do music the rest of your life?
Mm-hmm. So both of my parents are musicians. There's a history of performing musicians on both my paternal and maternal sides. Lots of jazz, or sort of like Dixieland, little bands, kind of that kind of stuff. My dad is not classically trained, but very good guitar player. He has a very good ear for harmony and pitch recall, just because he learned everything by ear. My mom used to play saxophone, and now every once in a while she'll dabble in mandolin or like recorder, pan flute, that kind of stuff. I started Suzuki violin lessons when I was 3.
Suzuki violin?
Yeah,
when you were 3.
That was my first musical experience, Suzuki violin.
Wow.
And then I started piano when I must have been like 5 or 6. I don't actually remember because I was so young. I started percussion in the 4th grade, so I must have been like 9. I started teaching myself how to play guitar when I was 12. And that was like my entire social life. I would sit in my room and play guitar, just ask my parents. It probably got really annoying. And I studied voice for a little bit when I was in high school. As far as composition goes, like, it's always been something that's just inherent to me. The first thing I ever wrote actually was when I was too young to be in school and my sister was at school and I missed her. I just, like, wrote a little song on the piano. It was just all black keys and me singing that I missed my sister.
I love that. That's awesome. Your first foray into composition.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. We'll come back to that composition bit, because I know that you've had some pretty cool opportunities, especially really recently, with your own compositions. But why don't we go on to the next song you're about to play? What song are you going to play for us next?
This next song is called Safety Blanket.
Wonderful.
Our place, a couple of bottles down the hatch, said they'd be back in 10, so we waited for your car. The headlights pull up and we shout thank you God as you put up, pull up, show up. I'll never be your girl. As much as I'd like to, you're too far inside yourself. The war between my lungs can only be solved by our breathing coexisting. You used to be my safety blanket, but I got too warm. Guess I'll have to trust my skin. There's strength in our number, so count your blessings as they leave. Choices made after midnight never come cheap. I'm wringing my hands, open, you'll ring the doorbell and crawl back with apologies. Tell me not to worry that the voices in my head are all all made up. But just like Dumbledore said, why would in my head mean they're not real? You used to be my morning protein shake, but I'm too buff. Guess I'll stick with steak and eggs. Never come back and see the city this way. Orange and pink fade to blue. I'm still thinking of you. Turn that PlayStation on and pretend we're all okay. It's just fine, fine. Steak and eggs.
Natalie Fiddler here in the Prairie Public Studio. That is Safety Blanket. I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Did you ever, or do you still, listen to like Fall Out Boy or Panic at the Disco, things like that?
Oh my God, that was like my lifeblood when I was in high school.
Of course.
I loved pop punk.
Sure, sure.
I don't so much anymore listen to it, mostly because a lot of those groups have sort of morphed more so onto the pop side and less to the punk side. And
right.
Also because the pop punk genre is kind of riddled with misogyny sometimes.
You're so right. Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely have some roots in that.
Yeah, I can tell because of just like all the funky like lyrics. I don't know. It's so dense.
Yeah,
I really like that.
For sure.
I can hear that.
Thanks.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that you play like a million instruments and you're also a composer. And you've had some really cool opportunities over the past few years. I know you've had some composition opportunities, like especially recently. And can you talk about some of those a little bit?
Yeah. So my most recent commission was from a group called the Lyra Trio. So that's three professors from the Tri-College area that have a piano trio, so piano, cello, and violin. I was approached by their violinist, Jane Lindy Capistran, who teaches at Concordia, and she asked me to write a piece for them because they were putting on a recital this January that was supposed to be highlighting emerging female composers. They commissioned me, as well as another Concordia alumna, Christy Fullerton. And that was a really great experience, not only because I got to write a piece that I really, really loved and I'm really proud of, but also because I had never worked in a classical setting before with entirely women. So the dynamic between all of us throughout the process of getting ready for the recital, actually doing it, and the follow-up, it was all just so cohesive and so supportive. So that was a really, really great experience for me.
Up here in the Fargo-Moorhead area, you wouldn't think that there's so many opportunities like that, but they come up and you hear about it, and
mm-hmm.
it's really cool. And in addition to composing, I know that, well, obviously you're a multi-talented instrumentalist and vocalist, and I know a couple years back you opened for a couple groups at Cornstalk,
yeah.
Concordia's kind of music extravaganza concert. What was that like?
Oh my goodness, that was really, really fun. We weren't playing original tunes, so we actually played a lot of pop punk. We
yep.
played some Panic at the Disco, some Green Day, you know, the classics.
Yeah, the classics.
And so it was really easy to get the audience engaged, and there was, like, jumping and moshing and singing along, all that fun stuff.
Right.
But just the experience of being able to play on that huge stage with the touring sound engineers and, like, all that stuff, it's such a different experience from most of the gigs I've done, which have been, like, bar-type venues and that kind of stuff, where
sure.
it's, like, the setup is just so much smaller. And, like, they did, like, the light shows and everything. totally felt like a rock star, even though I was, like, playing a school drum set and,
right.
like, singing Joan Jett.
Right, right. Who was it you opened for? Was it,
The headliner was MKTO.
That's right.
Which I had, like, never heard of them before, but I know that song. What is it? Classic.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you're so classic. Yeah.
And then there was a rapper named PJ, another group called My Body Sings Electric.
Yeah, that I remember that pretty well. That was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Good time. Well, as I mentioned earlier, I know you're planning to record an EP. Is that this summer or later
mm-hmm,
this year?
This summer.
Awesome. Can you tell us about that project at all?
Yes. When I first started at Concordia, formerly studying composition, I paid a lot more attention to, like, classical with a lowercase c composition, things with notes on a page and classical instruments and that kind of stuff. And so my songwriting kind of took a hit. And so last year, in March of 2017, I was like, I'm going to write songs and I'm going to push them out until I love them. And so I wrote just a ton of songs last year, and I decided that I wanted to record them all. And so that's sort of like the concept of the EP. It's going to be all of the good songs that I wrote in 2017, all the ones that withstood the test of time. And I'll be recording that with my good friend Claire Altendahl, who is studying contemporary composition and production at Berklee College of Music right now. We met through working together for a nonprofit called She Rock, She Rock in the Twin Cities that is dedicated to empowering female-identified people through the art of music.
That's so cool.
So I'm really excited to work with her. She's absolutely incredible, and we're just really good friends. So, yeah.
Did she go to Egan High School?
She sure did.
I think I knew her. I think I've met her a couple times. That's really awesome.
That's actually a thing I get a lot. She's also like a crazy good guitar player. And so people are like, oh my God, you know Claire Altendahl.
No, that's so awesome. And it's just going to be you two on this EP?
Yeah. I have asked some friends maybe if they would help me record stuff in the studio. But mainly the two of us.
Sure.
Nothing set in stone quite yet.
But planning on doing it.
Yes, for sure.
Do you have any sort of Facebook page or like anything that we can follow up on, or SoundCloud or Bandcamp or anything?
I do have a SoundCloud. It is soundcloud.com/NatalieJean713.
Wonderful. So Natalie, I understand you also have a third song you'd like to play for us today.
Yes, sir. This last one is called Kirkland's Signature Light Suffering, like the beer.
Lovely. That's what I was wondering.
Here we go.
Finally sunk my teeth into something beautiful that I would never trade. I was crazy for a taste of something that you're holding on to, so I can't be so surprised that you walk back to your consciousness for a moment of relief, leaving me to question everything. And as I watch the play-by-play from my spot here in the cheap seats, I'll tell you everything I did wrong, and I won't suffer anymore. Searching for the key that opens up the door to your heart, 'cause there's just four blank walls telling me that I should comply. Something I am not. I was in one too many Kirky Sigs to tell you anything untruthful. But if my ambiguity makes you start to sweat, maybe we're in too many, too. I think you're beautiful in every single way, except the part where everyone knows you're a narcissist. And I can tell just from the way you're looking at me. Cause there's just four plague bulls telling me that I should comply. Oh, it's something I am not. The midnight dreams that lead to you. Lord, give me strength to find the peace that's hidden inside of me to complete my transformation operation, to rid myself of desperation for anyone as unworthy as you. And I won't suffer anymore, searching for the key that opens up the door to your heart. Cause there's just four plague bulls telling me that I should comply. There's just four plague wolves telling me that I should comply. Oh, it's something I am not.
Natalie Fiddler here in the Prairie Public Studio. I'm curious, Natalie, how you personally would describe your style of music, if you could give it a couple of descriptors.
The first thing that comes to mind is just quirky. I've never been able to, like, stick with a certain genre.
Yeah.
Never able to stick with a certain form. And I'm a quirky person, so those sorts of things show up in my music, for sure. I think, especially with my classical compositions, but also with my lyrics, that one really big thing that I try to stick to is just being honest with what I'm saying, what I mean, and letting that honesty inspire deeper thought in my listeners. With, you know, the intricacy of my lyrics, or the pieces that I write with the program notes, and the way that I interact with my performers and my audiences when I talk about my music, I want people to, you know, understand what I'm saying, but also be able to take those matters into their own hands, whether it be relatable or they disagree or they have no idea what I'm talking about. I want it to be a brain blast for my audience. I want them to be able to think a little deeper and be able to live inside their head for a little bit.
Sure, sure. And going off of that, kind of, who do you hope hears your music?
Oh, my goodness.
I know,
what a question.
It's kind of a tough question.
Well, I'm going to quote Atmosphere really quick.
Yes, as you always should.
Yeah, you're right. He says, "My fans know me better than my friends do because my fans are the ones that really listen." So one thing that I've noticed is that, like, the people that know me a little more surfacey are the ones that listen to my music more. And I think the biggest thing for me is wanting my close friends and my family to listen to my music, because those are the people that I really want to know me, you know?
Right.
So I hope that they listen, and that they realize that my art is a part of me, not just, like, something that I do. So, yeah. And, I mean, also, like, people that want to commission me or, you know, give me money,
right.
I would like for them to hear this as well.
Of course. I totally understand that, like, deeper connection, though. That's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you have these these lyrics and these songs that truly do come from the heart and come from, you know, your own emotional state, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I have another tough question coming at you.
Okay.
Ideally, after graduation, what do you hope your life and your career in music looks like? What do you hope happens with that?
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
So as a junior in college, I'm thinking about grad school a lot. So I'm planning to pursue a master's in composition after I graduate with my bachelor's from Concordia. I also really like songwriting. I absolutely love recording. I think it's such a blessing that we have the opportunity to, like, record music and listen to it whenever we want. And, I mean, my baseline is really just I want to write music and make money for doing that. One thing that I've learned at Concordia thus far is that I really like taking commissions. When someone approaches me with a somewhat fleshed out idea and they say, I want a piece of music that maybe they'll have the instrumentation or a genre in mind or something, and they give me some limitations and say, here, now you fill in the rest. That's really, really fun. Collaborating is always great, but also creativity comes from limits. One thing that I've learned about myself as a composer is that I am most inspired when I sort of take the pressure off and play games with myself. Being able to say, like, okay, I'm going to write a piece today, but I can only use 6 pitches. Or, right. like, coming up with the form before you even start writing notes. Once you make decisions like that, once you define your piece before you start going for it, that's when ideas will flow.
What does music do for you, and what do you get out of having music in your life?
Well, so, like, as a person who's studying music, music is my life. and that's kind of a cliche. Like, I have a shirt that says music is my life, and all my other music major friends make fun of me when I wear it. But, I mean, it is. You know, like, I wake up at 7 a.m. to get to my 8 a.m. music class, and I study all day, and I practice, and I compose, and then I go to rehearsals until 10 p.m., and I get home, and I sleep, and I get up, and I do it the next day. So, like, I am consuming music at all times. It really is the biggest thing in my life, truly. Like, I really don't exist without music, so there's that. As far as, like, what I get out of music, there is a sense of emotionality and expressivity that one can tap into with music that can't be said with words. And even if it can be said with words, it's heightened so much when notes and rhythms are assigned. So one thing that I really look for in the music that I listen to, and also one thing that I really want to write when I set out to compose something, is having an emotional nature to it that comes across how the composer intended. So, I mean, music that's not so much emotional, or at least I don't reap that same emotional connection with it, is the kind of stuff that I don't really listen to. But my life is just full of a spectrum of from just casual listening of just like background music all the way to like incredibly critical listening of like having to figure out the form of something in real time and thinking about modulation and motivic development and all that kind of stuff in real time, which is really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got that right.
But yeah, so sometimes it gets a little rough to listen to music and consume other people's music all the time, especially when I'm looking for new ideas. You know, when you're trying to be original and all you do is listen to other people's music, it's really hard. But I figure, or I find that that's where new genres come into play. So this past summer, I got really into sort of new music is what it's called. Other people probably would call it experimental. So things that are more so about the soundscape rather than like melody, harmony. And that is a really interesting avenue for critical listening, as well as sort of recreational listening, because sometimes you can treat it as white noise, other times you can treat it as another critical listening example, thinking about what sounds are being reused and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, it certainly takes a special person with a special kind of passion and drive for music to be able to perform it and write it and also think critically about other people's and try not to get too caught up in the headiness of it all. But yeah, that's something that I find really fascinating about musicians. Natalie, do you have any upcoming performances or projects besides your EP that you have going on?
I think the next thing for me personally is I'll be giving my senior recital in the fall. I don't have a date booked for that yet, but that will be on Concordia's website, I believe, once I pick a date for that. So yeah, that'll be great. A recital of just all my compositions exclusively as part of the fulfillment for my degree.
Natalie, I just want to thank you so much for joining me in the studio today. It's been really awesome to have you here, and I hope we can have you back sometime in the future.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That is local musician and composer Natalie Fidler, and you can keep up to date with her music and her upcoming EP by heading over to soundcloud.com/NatalieJean713.